scripture. It is Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. Matthew chapter 19, verses 16 to 22. And behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do, that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, which Jesus said, Thou shalt do not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and thy mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Amen.
Amen.
Good morning. It's a very wonderful thing for us to be before the Lord this morning and to be alive and to be in His kingdom. And I want to use this moment to welcome each and every one of you here present. And I know for sure that God's blessings will be upon each and every one of us in Jesus' name.
Amen.
This morning, we are all going to encourage ourselves with a sermon titled, What Lack I Yet? What Lack I Yet? The text we just read from the book of Matthew, chapter 19, from verse 13 down to 20, giving us the account of a young ruler who went to Christ assess, you know, his level of faith, and of course with what happened eventually and how it all went. By introduction, we see the young man approaching Christ, and after affirming that he actually kept the law from while he was a youth, he asked a very honest question: What lack I yet? What do I still lack? From here we could perceive the honesty in the young ruler, because he felt empty, that even though he had kept the law, but of course that was why he was with Christ. And when Christ told him, do not do this, do this, don't do this, do this, he said, all I have kept from while I was a youth. And that actually affirmed that he would still feel some emptiness in him, even though physically he has kept all. And he asked the most honest question, what do I still lack? And so we could see from this young man, a young ruler, some level of religious mindfulness in him, because really he knew the commandment. And at this time and this era that he came to meet Christ was in the Mosaical era, where the Ten Commandments and the laws of Moses still stood. And you can imagine the young ruler, the young man, keeping to all of this law. So we could actually tell that he was quite religious in knowing the commandment. Knowing the commandment meant that he actually kept himself to study the law, you know, and attending activities for him to know what the law was all about. Not just knowing the law, but also keeping to the law. We could also see again that he was also respectful. He He went to Christ and called him good master. That showed a high level of respect from this young man. So he wasn't just religious, he was also respectful, and knowing again that he was righteous outwardly. You know, he had kept the law from his youth. And according to the book of Mark, the version from Mark, that when he asked Christ this question, the Bible said that Christ loved him because Christ could actually see, you know, his passion for the things of God. And of course, he was also rich, as described by the scriptures. And lastly, he was responsible because he had influence amongst his people. So we could actually see that this young ruler was not just an ordinary man, both spiritually and physically. We could say that he was rich in every aspect. And physically, we could say that it's what anyone would have actually, you know, aspired to be. But before we move on, let us understand this concept. Understanding this concept will make us to actually understand this reading even much more. Even though I've kept all, what do I still lack? And at the end of this, the sermon is going to end with a question that you are going to ask yourself, what do I still lack? In this concept of a chain with one broken link, I want to ask this question rhetorically, but just imagine. Let's say you drove your car and your car got stuck, perhaps maybe a bad road, muddy water or something, and a tow truck came to tow your car out of the ditch or the mud. And the tow truck driver brought out a chain, that chain to tow your car. It's a chain, right? But would you actually make some sense out of using that kind of a chain to tow your car out of the ditch? But it's actually a chain, isn't it? It's a chain. But mind you, there is a weak link. I remember in management, there's also always this concept of a chain is as strong as the weakest link. And what that means is that the strength of a chain is as strong as the weakest part of the link. So in most cases, in management, they use that to, you know, select those who work in the team and all that, so that the strength can actually push the organization forward. And that's actually the concept. But if you don't understand this concept, or the concept of a broken chain in the line of chains, most times it will be challenging, or you might feel it's unfair to judge someone by just one act. I mean, it's not so well. It's not just anger. If it's anger, I mean, it's that can be overlooked. Yeah, humanly speaking, but when you look at it logically and also in the sight of God, what that actually mean? So imagine a chain with one broken link, if that actually was carrying out its function. And so the danger of one missing thing always comes within this. Spiritually, almost is never enough. And that's the reason why when Moses was given the law, he said, be imperfect as God is perfect. And we also have the same commandment also in the New Testament, that God demands perfection from us as his children. I know sometimes there's always this debate that it's difficult for man to be perfect, man can be perfect, man can be perfect, but that's a different subject entirely because it is within a context. Now, being perfect, God, I remember someone was giving someone that said that 99% before God is still failure because God demands 100%. Looking at the concept of the broken chain that we talked about earlier, that with the weakest thing, it is not of a chain. And so, we could see this in the example of King Agrippa in the book of Acts chapter 26, when Paul preached to him, he said, oh, almost, you've persuaded me to be a Christian. But don't worry, I mean, when I'm ready, I'll call you back some other time. You can, let's end the discourse at this time. And that was the end of the character in Agrippa in the scriptures. And so, what lack I yet is a question that every one who desires not to have the weakling in his chain of service unto God should constantly seek out to address. No one can answer the question for you. I can't ask you, what do you lack? You can't ask, what do I lack? I can only ask myself, what do I still lack? And look at it in alignment with God's commandment. So if this is what I still find as a weakness within me, then there should be no justification why one should still continue to live in that. Now let's consider two examples. There are several other examples, you know, but this comes within the context of incomplete obedience. In all characters in the scriptures, this for me, this that I see it, tends to be like the most, I'm still trying to get the phrase to use. The first one is the case of Moses. Sorry, it's not 13, it's actually verse 12. But when you read from Numbers chapter 20 from verse 1, you actually understand that. Now, recall that the Bible said that Moses was meek. In fact, there was a particular passage in the scripture that says that there was no one as meek as Moses on the earth. This was someone that spoke with God. Like, as God told Aaron and Miriam, he said, all other prophets I spoke with them in parables, in visions and in dreams, but none have I spoken face to face like my servant Moses. And I could tell how close Moses was with God. And you can imagine, right from when God called Moses in the wilderness to when Moses was before Pharaoh, persuading him, let my people go, God said, let my people go, all the patience that Moses had in crossing through the Red Sea, all the harassment from the children of Israel and everything. Now he got to this stage. He said, Moses will test you. Look, and then again, the same complaint. You know, sometimes I say this, but learning for every level that we are, in some level of leadership and authority, this is where one really has to be very careful. Because sometimes it might not even be you, but those that you lead will make you not to get to the promised land. And so it's all, look at all the attributes of Moses. But just at this point, the complaint got to Moses. And Moses cried out to God. God said, okay, point to the rock. You know? But out of the emotional outburst, Moses did the contrary. And God told Moses and Aaron, he said, because you have not honored me before these people, you will not be from this land. That was a very sad one, I would say. But you know, it did not just end there. Of course, we all knew that when he got to the time of Aaron, when his time was done, God told Moses, take Aaron to the mouth, take his son and let Sam do it. When he got there, take the rope out of him and give it to his son, Eliezer, who is going to be his successor. Immediately that was done, that was the end of Aaron. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, this is even a part that touched me even more. When Moses was recounting to the new generation of the Israelites about to cross to the other side, God said, Moses recounted all that had happened. And after he made this recount, he said, three times he prayed to God forgive him for this error. But the third time, God warned him, I have spoken that you not see the promised land. Do not ask of this woman again. And of course, that was the end of it. So you can imagine, just one piece, and Moses lost it. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, that is the story of Uzzah, very common story, when God, again through Moses, gave how the Ark of the Covenant should be carried by rods, four priests on their shoulder. But of course, David, out of his passion and his dedication for God, decided to make a horse to carry the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. And he appointed priests to stand by the Ark, to walk the Ark. And that displeased God. What does this mean? God holds his words so strictly. And this tells that no matter how simple the word of God might seem to us as human, to God it is big. And so there is no compromise that we can give that will justify, except we stand strictly by what he has given. And that's exactly what happened to Uzzah. Because David missed a simple commandment for four priests to carry the Ark of the Covenant on their shoulder. He was put on the Ark. Perhaps he felt, well, the journey is long, the Ark, you know, should be carried, and for whatever reason. But of course, when he got to a particular threshold, the horse stumbled and the Ark was about to drop to the ground. This is a very pathetic one, because most times when I study the scriptures, I put myself in the character. And sincerely speaking, may God forgive me, if I were to be in the shoes of Uzzah, I wouldn't do anything different. The Bible said the Ark of the Covenant was about to fall to the ground. Uzzah standing by the Ark, of course, that would have been something very commendable to us as humans, isn't it? You should commend, wow, Uzzah, you did well trying to save the Ark from falling to the ground. I mean, this is seen as God's dwelling place here on earth. But Uzzah trying to touch the Ark, and the Bible said God was angry and Uzzah was struck dead. What was meant to be a day of joy became a day of sorrow. And of course, that ended that party for that day, until another time. So in all of this, it shows that no matter how well we think we have tried, oh, I attend church service daily, I don't miss weekly activities, I pray 3, 5, 6, 7, 10 times in a day, I give, you know, of my alms to the poor, I do benevolence, I go out evangelism, I do, it's not enough. You still need to keep asking yourself, what do I still lack? Because if there is a missing link, it is not acceptable in the sight of God. And so, what lack I yet? Two broad perspectives. One, deeper faith. Could it be that what you lack is deeper faith? What we mean deeper faith means perhaps there is still some things about God's commandment that is not clear to you. There is still a lack of a stronger faith and a deeper trust that you can have in God. Of course, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so it means, like in our various Bible classes, the youth class, the marriage class, all the words, you know, sometimes people argue and all that. Sometimes someone might just want to really argue to be in line or in favor with what they do. And all. The thing that you should really ask and look at is, what is the scripture really saying? Not what people perhaps, or what someone has remodeled about the word of God that is out there on the social media or on TV or What is God actually saying? And so understanding that helps us to build a stronger faith in God. And for us, what this means is a constant study and seeking. Just like the young ruler who went to meet Christ because he knew that he had the word of God. And he went to him to ask, please tell me, what do I still lack? Of course, we all are still saying Christ daily, aren't we? And so we have the opportunity to still keep asking, what do I still lack? But the only way that Christ will tell you what you still lack is by studying the word of God. That is the only revelation that you can have to understand what you still lack. So in understanding and studying and attending the Lord, it helps to build a deeper faith. The other one could be full surrender. You know, we make reference to Agrippa. There's something about the word of God, like we talked about Moses and we talked about Uzzah. The word of God stands. You're here this morning in the Church of Christ. You know, sometimes we just ask questions like, hey, my church. Just say with my friends. My friend invited me, so maybe perhaps by tomorrow when I also invite my friend, he can also come to my church, that's why I'm here. Yes, good. But the thing about it is, Christ has only established one church. You know, again, sometimes people say that the church does not save. I mean, the church is saved in their hearts. It doesn't matter whether you go to church or you don't go to church. That doesn't matter. But that is also in contradiction to the word of God, because when the Bible said in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 47, that God adds daily such as should be saved to where? To the church. So, two things. One, it is God that adds you to the church. You don't join the church. And who are those that God adds to the church? Only those that have been saved. And so how are you being added to the church? We don't get registered to say, oh yeah, I've finished registration form, oh congratulations, yeah, I've attended induction. Oh yeah, so you cannot become a member of the church. No. There is a scriptural pattern that God has laid down that one can become a member of the church. And what are the steps? Hearing the word of God and then believing what you heard. Repenting of your sin, confessing Christ that He is the Lord. And after that, you get baptized. And then through baptism, one is being added to the body of Christ. So the only way that one can become a member of the church, the body of Christ, is through baptism. And by that, you have put on Christ, according to Galatians 3:27. And so what does baptism do? By that, you come into contact with the blood of Christ. And that is how we say that the gospel saves. Because the gospel is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. So you might ask, so how does the death and the burial and the resurrection save? He says through baptism, because according to the book of Romans chapter 6, verse 3, that know ye not that as many of you as have been baptized, when you are buried in water, at that point, you die with Christ, you are crucified with Christ and buried with Christ, that as you raise out, then you raise with Christ to do what? To walk in newness of life. And that is when you said to be born again. Being born again means that you are now a new creature. Behold, all things are passed away. All things are now become new. All things passing away means that you are now a new creature. The flesh has been crucified and nailed on the cross. upon resurrection, you are now walking in newness with Christ now living in you. But of course, there is room for you to grow. And so if you are not yet giving the full surrender unto Him, then that is also something that is lacking, which also you need to consider. And also to say this, that it doesn't matter how long you worship with the Church of Christ or how long you gather with the Church of Christ, except this step is going to follow. God have not saved you as a member, except you totally surrender through baptism. And by true baptism, then truly you're not being added to the body of Christ. And so this is something very critical, brethren, for us to actually look at. Incidentally, this morning in our youth class, we talked about the concept of time and how to redeem the time. I think this is an opportunity for us to redeem the time. And the question that we all were analyzing in the youth class this morning was, time cannot be bought. You can't literally, you know, get back time. Once time is spent, it's gone. But the Bible said we live in the time, that is buy back time. So how do we do that? Upon the recognition of the fact that there is something lacking, it's on us to correct it so that you can change what comes thereafter. And so, brethren, the hope of a better response to us, please, is an appeal that the Spirit is appealing to you this morning. Maybe you are having lack of a deeper faith as to what you lack, or lack of total surrender. The Spirit is appealing, please, you don't have to walk away. By walking away means that you don't need to resist the truth. You don't need to defend why you're still doing what you're doing. You don't need to still live as you've been. You don't need to justify your act. Do not walk away. But try to see how you can actually make the change. And so, in conclusion, the question is up to you. The question is up to me. No one can answer the question except you, because you are only true to yourself. But the standard of index that we use to measure our truthfulness is the scripture. What lack I yet? We pray the Lord to bless us in our hearts and give us the grace and the courage and the transparency to actually understand our weakness, change from there, align our thoughts, our thinking, and our acts with the word of God, so that we will be counted righteous before Him. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.